If you're going to a solid Lutheran church that does the liturgy where the historic worship is used, if there ever was a time in the history of the West to just keep doing it, this is that time.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn radio show.
Because the ones in collapsing evangelicalism are going to start looking to Rome or Eastern Orthodoxy or a blown-out Episcopal church, looking for something historical rather than just experiential. And I want us to be one of the markets that they bump into.
You can meet and hear Rod Rosenblatt June 14th and 15th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois.
You think you can't make mistakes? But the choices you make could get yourself and everyone under your command killed. But I believe in you, Jim. Darkness is coming.
This could just be the beginning.
Beginning of what?
All-out war. I request permission to go after him.
I cannot allow you to do this.
Jim, you're not actually going after this guy, are you?
I believe in you, Jim.
It's the trailer for the movie Star Trek Into Darkness. This makes the 12th Star Trek film in the franchise, and this one, like so many others, is big budget, and it is exciting. And it's one of those things that when you watch it, you're watching kind of the emergence of the 21st century, 20th and 21st century icon of science fiction films. So what does it have to say, if anything, about religion? The Star Trek universe, by the way, is not irreligious, but it's kind of a religion of technology in a lot of ways. Joining us to review the movie Star Trek Into Darkness, and we will probably be spoiling the plot of the movie for you, so be forewarned, Pastor Ted Giese. He's a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
You say that Star Trek has always had a complicated relationship with religion. What do you mean by that, with about a minute before we have to take a break?
Well, I think it goes back really to the originator of the whole thing, Gene Roddenberry, who grew up as a Baptist, but by the time he got to the point of making Star Trek, he was an agnostic humanist. So that really started to inform the way that he was going to be talking about religion as he was a writer and producer of it in those first 3 years.
With about 30 seconds here, what is the religion in Star Trek? I mean, Christianity has no face there, but what is the religion in that universe, in that story world?
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag. Like, I would say that generally speaking, for the human characters, you know, if you go back to the beginning of Star Trek all the way through, the human characters, he kind of envisions a world in which, a universe in which the human characters have kind of like let go of their, that part of them. It's like they've evolved past it. That's the idea. But then they run into other cultures and, you know, different races and things that have religions also.
Well, we'll take a break, and when we come back, the interesting thing about this movie vis-a-vis religion is that the opening scene actually has the birth of a religion, or at least what one would assume in the Star Trek universe to be the birth of religion. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about its connection to the rest of, well, the whole saga of Star Trek. This one is tied into a couple others pretty tightly. We'll be right back. Spoiler alert, we're doing a movie review of Star Trek Into Darkness. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Issues Etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama. And Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Can God save people any way he wants? Is Jesus the only way we know of? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled What God Cannot Do. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor John Fraser details his journey from the subjective introspection of decision theology to the objective saving work of Jesus. The online Issues Etc. journal.
We are not the Lord of history. Somebody else, thank God, is the Lord of history. The Lord of history has not abandoned him, but has actually been on his side and suffering alongside him in Vietnam.
The day of grace is today. The day of grace is every day. And the day of grace is forever.
Is this committee really prepared to go to the south side of Chicago in neighborhoods that have never seen a father? And are you really prepared to tell those people the kids don't need a mother and a father?
The Tower of Babel is all about the work of Jesus preparing now to go through Abraham, David, and Judah until Mary is told by the angel that the Savior is going to be born.
Just a little taste of the sound bites we'll be playing for you later in the program when we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour on this Friday afternoon, May the 31st. In the meantime, we're reviewing the movie Star Trek Into Darkness. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. Religion plays at least an initial role in this movie. We see kind of the birth of one at the hands of the Star Trek crew inadvertently. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, in the very first 5 minutes or so of the movie, you find the main central characters all embroiled in kind of an unfolding disaster on this planet, and they've hidden their ship away under the ocean, and they have to go and save one of the characters who's caught in a volcano, and the only way to do it is to take the ship and go right over there. The trouble is they've been trying to get the natives from the planet away from the volcano, and they don't want to show themselves to the natives because if they do, that may break their prime directive, which is something they have in Star Trek, is a philosophy that they don't want to interfere with the development of an evolving culture on some planet someplace. So they end up doing that, and then as soon as they do that, you see the natives from the planet drawing the shape of the Enterprise into the sand, and then you know that what they had feared was going to happen, that now they're going to be worshiping this spaceship, but they don't know what it is, so they're just drawing it out in the sand. And the interesting thing is, I'm sitting there watching this movie, and I think to myself, oh, that's something called a cargo cult, which is something anthropologists talk about happening in our own world. And not everybody might be familiar with cargo cults, but the idea of a cargo cult, kind of one of the times where it really started, people started taking notice of it, was during the Second World War, when there were kind of in Indochina and places near Australia, Melanesia, places like that, where they didn't really have Papua New Guinea, they didn't really have contact with very many outsiders, and there were some isolated communities there. And when the American military was putting in landing strips as they were fighting against the Japanese, suddenly they're interacting with American military, and they mistake the actions of the American military as being religious ritual. So when the Americans leave, what they observed was these people raising flags and marching and, you know, building these landing strips and everything, and they saw that as a form of ritual that would cause cargo to be dropped out of the sky. So things that people need for daily life, and like just something that just literally dropped out of the sky. So then what they would do after the Americans had left, they started building their own runways and making their own things that looked like airplanes, and they did their own flag raising and dropping and marching and things like that, because they figured by doing that, it would cause the cargo to come. And one of the central figures of one of these is an idea of a person called John Frum. And, of course, it's F-R-U-M, but it's a bit of a way of a shortening of something like the guy would say, I'm John from America. Well, America didn't mean anything to them. So it got shortened, and that becomes their central character of their religion.
In the Star Trek Into Darkness film, it is an alternate timeline. So we have the same characters from the original series, but the story is all being retold in a completely different way. And that's a major feature of tying this film into several of the other films. How is it tied in to that? To the other films, but retelling the story in a different way.
Yeah, in the last film, which was what they would refer to as a reboot, they rebooted the series by going back to original characters, and they had a different producer, this J.J. Abrams, and he did it in such a way that he opened himself up so that his writers wouldn't have to be pinned in to just doing a play-by-play of the previous films. And he did it with a little of a time travel kind of story. So now they can kind of revisit some of these things. And now if you haven't seen this and you want to be surprised, stop listening now. It's on demand, so you can come back later and listen to it. That's one of the things I love about Issues, etc., is you can listen to it when you can get to it. But here's what happens is now they can go and take some of the key plot points from these other Star Trek movies and cover them over again. So one of the big secrets that was connected to this movie was who the villain was going to be, and they kept trying really hard to keep it from everyone. But the one thing that they actually did by doing that was they kind of hid another part that they were going to do, and that's the thing that maybe means the most to Christians. The villain part isn't as important for the Christian watching the movie, but if you're a Christian watching the movie, it goes back to something that happened in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, where at the very end of the movie, Spock sacrifices himself and dies. And they have a full funeral for him with Amazing Grace playing by the bagpipes over the speakers and, you know, big orchestral score, and he gets planted on this planet. and the movie ends with him dead. Of course, then the third movie, they find him, and he is brought back to life, and there's more things that happen with that. But what they did in this current movie is they revisited that again, only because they're able to do things slightly different because of this alternate timeline that they've built into the way they're telling the story. Now they can put Kirk as the one who sacrifices himself for his friends. And this is kind of the thing that really starts to, you know, pop in your mind while you're watching it. Because right before he dies, or right after he dies, rather, Spock is the one on the bridge. And he's the, you know, the alien character. And one of the people on the bridge says, you know, when they realize they've miraculously been saved, they say it's a miracle. And he says, there are no such things. And goes down and finds Kirk dying. And now this is the replay of what happened in Wrath of Khan, only the reverse. And really through the whole movie, there's been this theme of friendship. That friendship is the reason why. If you go back to the beginning, what we were talking about, Spock was the one being rescued from the inside of the volcano. And Kirk says, do you know why I was trying to rescue you? And really the answer to it is, because you're my friend. And this is the big core central thing. And it's also interesting that this is a kind of a take on it that is almost maybe like David and Jonathan from the Old Testament, stuff like that. You know, like this is a very close male heterosexual friendship. And it also makes you start to think, because of the miracle thing, about Christ and his death. Because you know there's going to be a resurrection, and there is in this. Kirk doesn't stay dead. They're going to make another Star Trek movie, presumably after this, just like Spock didn't stay dead, and he came back in the next movie. But they definitely died. They, you know, in the course of the movie, because it's science fiction, they have some technicalities around it. So that's a difference from Christianity and what we believe, because we believe that Jesus was dead. He died in our place. And he was dead, not mostly dead, not dead a little bit, absolutely dead, because he took the death that we were supposed to take.
Isn't it interesting that, you know, for pure profit motive and the ability to make these things with the technology they have, and to retell old stories that were good stories in the first place, but now let's retell them again and reboot them. Even Hollywood keeps bumping back into that story that really is the driver, the impetus of all human history.
Well, this is the thing. It's, you know, Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And that is one of the key things in this movie, is that, you know, Kirk's mentor says, you're not ready to be the captain of the ship. And, you know, the old adage, and it shows up in the movie too, the captain should go down with her ship. Well, he's got to be ready to do that, to put his life on the line for his friends.
About 30 seconds.
That's what you get in this movie. And really, Jesus is the one that makes that into a honorable thing that people aspire towards.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And you can read his review, Star Trek Into Darkness, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
Folks, here's a way that you can help support Issues Etc., where Christianity meets culture. It's called the Issues Etc. 300. It's our congregational sponsorship program. When you think about $1,000 in your congregation's budget, it sounds like a lot, but over the course of a year and spread over the course of an entire congregation, it starts to look more reasonable. And that's how congregations support Issues Etc. through the Issues Etc. 300 in their budget, their advertising or mission budget, to the tune of $1,000 or more. You can find out how your congregation can join. Issuesetc.org. Click support. You'll find a one-page flyer that tells you everything you need to know about Issues Etc. 300. When we come back, Dr. James Buscher joins us. We'll remember Justin Martyr.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Is baptism a mere symbol of rebirth? Is it a prize for attaining a certain amount of faith? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. It's written by regular guest Pastor Charles Lehman. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received Him, who believed in His name, the Gospel of John says, He gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.